Yeah. Five killers arise from graves. The within, they shed the dead weight of morals and sins. Set loose by Zeus, they clear space time and lead the murderous horde known as Experience Crime.
Are we just saying Jimmy
Fallout?
Yeah.
I didn't know what they were until someone
Jimmy
told me.
Jimmy World?
Slim Jims?
Thanks. Jimmy World had to have been in like one of the soundtracks, right? In one of the Tony Hawk games.
I think they were in the third one.
I feel you like they you go long them. Enough.
I think
it's
pain.
In there.
Pain is in one of them.
Yeah, you go long enough. Any band that you can think of is in a Tony Hawk game. Like if you're gonna have Johnny fucking
pain.
Cash in a
Pain's
Tony
in
Hawk
Thug
game
too.
For no goddamn reason, you're gonna have.
Pain's in Tony
else.
Hawk Underground 2.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Mm-hmm.
Who's
well,
sitting there
that
with
was
Johnny
like...
Cash on repeat fucking skating around? You're an idiot. There's better songs on that soundtrack, you fucking loser.
There's apparently a...
Wow. We're getting into it quick here.
So Tony Hawk's hold on. Playlist for every
I
song
would imagine.
On Spotify.
That's awesome.
That's great. It's called Tony Hoffman's Pro Surfer 2 official soundtrack.
Oh, that's brilliant.
They just throw all of the stuff in there.
Nice.
Are we
cool.
doing
what was the surfer
the,
one? That was Kelly
rolling.
Kelly Slater.
Yeah, Kelly Slater. Yeah,
Kelly Slater's Pro Surfing. And then there is the wakeboarding one, too. I can't
There's
think
a wakeboarding
that is.
One?
Yeah.
Oh, yo, I've
played,
that.
I've played
on, like,
and owned
a,
all of
a
these
pond?
At some point.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, dog.
I would.
You're just
you know what?
To buy
I would
a
hope.
Boat.
I would hope that in that game, it would take a cue from like Need for Speed Underground and you could just decal up your bodysuit, just slap sponsors on your butt cheeks
yeah.
and get out there, paddle out there and hit some fucking rippers.
Wakeboarding Unleashed.
Wakeboarding Unleashed.
That's it.
Featuring Sean Murray.
Sean Murray, the all-star of wakeboarding wow. elite.
It might be
wow.
off of one of my
Sean. Ryan,
Yo.
If you guys
what?
Didn't hear, we don't have Brian this week, but we're joined by our buddy Casey.
Yeah, that fucking
I'm Casey.
In Florida.
Yeah, Casey. We were talking about Florida earlier.
Welcome.
But,
happy to have you on, Casey.
Thank you. It's
what a
to
great
be here.
Topic you brought this week, too.
Yeah.
B-list Brian is what they call me.
B-list
Brian.
Brian.
Bubba Brian.
You look like a fuck.
You look a like fuck? A fuck.
No. You look like
Thank
a
you.
Fuck.
Yo, who's the other dude in Tenacious D?
Oh,
Kyle Gass.
Yeah, you look like a Kyle Gass version of Brian.
I think you look like more like Jables than Kyle Gass.
I feel like the beard lends more to Jack Black's.
Yeah, it's much more Jables. Yeah. At least now. But it's a good look. But yeah, we're talking the Hawkman, the Tony. I
the
know
Hawkster.
Who did a 50 at 50. Which is 50 different tricks on a vert ramp at 50 years old.
Oh, I thought it would have just been
and
a 50-50 grind.
That,
and then
he
didn't
can't
he
get
like
off that easy.
Didn't he like break his fucking leg right after doing that too?
I think before. Like I think he was
right
rehabbing. Did, I don't it was it's
Jesus, man.
I don't remember where it was, but I feel like I heard that he was rehabbing and then did that stuff. Like they were like, he's just coming off of an injury too, or something. Something. Like that.
That's the perfect announcer. He's just coming off an injury too.
Look at him out there at 50 years old
it's
on the
Tony
vert
Hawk,
ramp.
Everybody.
By God,
I can't believe
it's gotta
it.
Be
oh my
Tony
God,
Hawk.
Was that his ankle?
By God, he snapped it in half.
That man has a family. It's getting into wrestling.
Yeah, it's they're similar
for sure.
Yeah,
the X
same
Games
thing.
Announcers were always going off. It was so great,
man.
Oh
boy, have you guys seen Pretending I'm Superman?
No,
like that's the documentary the first... on it. Though.
Yeah.
Like because yeah. I heard about it. I did not watch it, though.
How is it? Because it's named after the best song in Tony Hawk history?
I mean, honestly.
It's named after, like, the best licensed song for any game ever.
I would kind of agree with that.
That one gets you so fucking pumped.
Yeah,
it's so
even
good.
I listened to it yesterday morning.
It's on my Spotify playlist. Like, just DJ plays it all the time.
I will never skip that. You know, I go into like pretty much any Goldfinger record and I'm fucking sold, man. Like, I'm good. This is a retrospective on the Tony Hawk games, right? So kind of looking back on them.
Mm-hmm.
Man, talking about music real quick. Like, I
can introduce me to a lot of stuff.
All jokes about Johnny Cash and stuff aside. Like, I would not. Oh, no. Actually, that wasn't a joke. You're a fucking idiot. If it, like, you're a loser if that's the song that you are playing on this game. Like, what the fuck is wrong with you? But anyway,
was it Ring of Fire? Just to
it was clear. Ring of Fire that right, was in yeah. there. Yeah, yeah. Like, again, why? Jesus fuck. Anyways, like, my music tastes like didn't even really start until like the Tony Hawk games. Like, I never listened to like any punk stuff. I never listened to any metal stuff. I never listened to like really any of that. I didn't really I didn't have the means to be able to do it. And so like playing one of these games and hearing these songs for the first time and being like, holy shit, this is, pardon the pun, but like, this is my jam.
Yeah.
Like, this is where it's at. And from where it all just evolved kind of can really just be traced back to the first Tony Hawk game. So, yeah, you're a fucking loser.
Did we all start with
Johnny
one?
Cash? What?
Did we all start with number one?
I definitely did because I saw it in Walmart, and I hadn't even like read about it or anything because I never had any magazines or anything for like upcoming games. I just saw there was a skateboarding game, and I was like, Tony Hawk's Pro Skater. And I remember taking like the booklet to school because games came with booklets back then. And I remember taking the booklet to school, reading through, and I was like, this looks fucking awesome. And like just playing the first game for fucking ever.
Mm-hmm.
I remember there was this one kid's house that we used to go to every weekend and like would get drunk. And I went there one weekend and he had that game, and I remember being hammered and I thought it was awesome. And so I went back the next weekend, and while they all got super hammered, I just pretended to, and then they all like passed out, and I just stayed up all night and played that dude's copy of Tony Hawk. And then I was like, I have to have this game.
That's so great.
And I think I saved up and got it like very soon after, but man, I fucking loved it.
First time I played it was actually on a demo disc. Like a demo disc that came with like one of those magazines, and it just had Warehouse on there, but it had, I could be wrong, but I feel like it had almost the entire soundtrack on there, or it only had like four or five of them, but you just kept hitting start, you know, sound options and go back to the beginning of Superman and just keep doing that over and over again. But it was just Warehouse over and over again. And I gotta say, like, if I didn't already have a PlayStation in 1999 when this came out, I would have bought a PlayStation for this game.
Yeah, it was fantastic.
What about you, Ryan?
Yeah.
So, I definitely came across Tony Hawk Pro Skater 1 through rental. I didn't get to spend too much time with it. I had like it for like maybe a weekend or two and spent like a bit of time, but it wasn't until like Tony Hawk Pro Skater 2 that like that's the one I owned, and that was the one where I like finally got to sink time, like fell in love with the series. It was something that was on my radar. I was like, oh, this is good. I can't wait to like I get one of these. And to echo what somebody else said, I don't remember who, this was like a very innovative thing, worth getting a PlayStation for, because this really did something that was not done. Like, the closest you could think of, or at least I could think of, is like maybe like a Crazy Taxi or something is similar in that vein, but like with a huge emphasis on like tricks more so than racing or getting to specific points. And I don't know, I even now, I don't know, it's just a super innovative game.
I feel super like it was innovative, and it was very like easy to pick up and follow. Like, nothing was too hard to figure out in the first game. Like, it's like I mean, obviously it told you at the beginning of the level, collect skate, you know, there's a hidden video here, yada yada yada, but like it's not like it eased you very well into the games in the later levels. Like, the learning curve, the learning curve was great, and it was just like made you feel good too, especially in the levels where you're like, man, I can't find this last letter, and then you realize that they're generally all within the same path. If you take a nice line, you'll generally find all of them. And then later on in the series, they did that with the combos. You had to hit them all in one combo. But
I think that's a really cool touch, too, because you have, like, skating lines and stuff. Mm-hmm. And, like, I didn't realize when I was younger until, like, much later when I'm playing this. I'm like, oh, yeah, this is just basically within a line.
Yep.
And it's designed to kind of keep you on one kind of track to... And it's just a really cool, innovative thing. And with the first Tony Hawk, you don't have something like a manual. You're not able, or a Reaver, and you're not able to continue this and actually do like a full-on continuous combo kind of thing. So you can just skate the line. But Ryan, you started segue into like talking about things today. And a thing that is so different now is this heavy focus and want for simulation and realism, which I think is just such a detriment to a game like this, because what made this original game so captivating was like what Casey just said. And not only that it's so easy to pick up, and not only in the like these are your objectives, but you hit X button, you jump, you hit square. It's like that's a flip trick. Circles, great. It's so intuitive and so easy. Great. There's no need to overcomplicate this. It is a score. Your score goes through the roof. You do flip trick. You land. You continue.
You don't repeat tricks. You get higher scores.
I can do a backflip.
Exactly.
To that point, too, they started complicating it because Activision, this was on the yearly release where we had to put out one every single year. Yeah. They started complicating it and adding new things really every iteration. And I really don't think they overdid it until like the Thug games. So they had like they had a lot of like ramp up in difficulty and complexity and still like made something really good and solid for like four games, I think.
Yeah, I just remember every single time I knew a new Tony Hawk was coming out, I literally my first thought was like, what did they add? Like, what's new about this game? Because I know they added something.
To add on to that, I went through up until Underground 2, and I tracked the Metacritic scores and read some reviews on everything. Only on the PlayStations. I wasn't going to see the difference or whatever. Because this was a game that was originally released on PlayStation. And then later ported. So I just stuck with that. So Tony Hawk 1, you got a 92 out of 100. Tony Hawk 2, 98 out of 100.
Bam.
Tony Hawk 3, 97 out of 100. 4, 94. Tony Hawk Underground 1 was a 90. And Underground 2 was an 83. And the big hit with Underground 2 is that they didn't feel like they added enough new stuff to it. It's like that. It's this want of needing something different instead of... Mm. Just taking what you have and making it better. But also a downside of Underground 2 was the story's just kind of trash. And the classic mode was the thing that was actually the good part of that game. So I think a lot of people were... It is very much so a capsule in its time when you look at a review from back in like the mid-2000s. You're like, that's the line here?
Yeah.
All right.
I'd say both Thug 1 and Thug 2 suffer from too much story. Some people are charmed by like the rivalry in Thug.
Yeah.
I wasn't.
They wanted to make it more personable for the people playing. They wanted like, this has got to be your story. You know what I mean?
Like, it's also kind of like it was the reboot. They're trying to like do the soft reboot to get people in, no numbered, because we're going to like try to maybe find a new audience and go somewhere else where like the skating genre is not even super saturated, and to that it worked. I hate almost everything they added in Thug, though. I hate the vehicles. I hate the off the board segments. I don't think they add anything. Is
it the game about skateboarding? Yeah, now you can get off of it. Okay.
Yeah.
You gotta be able to walk upstairs, though. What do you think?
It's so funny. They were going for a reboot when there wasn't even a year in between. Like when you said yearly releases, Ryan, it was a year almost on the nose every single year.
Yeah.
And Tony Hawk Underground came out less than a year after Tony Hawk Pro Skater 4. Like, how are you trying to just like scrap and go remove the numbers. This is something new. This is for a new crowd.
It was like, something like, I didn't get Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 2 because Casey had it. And I was like, I can just play it at his house.
Yeah.
Oh, and then vice versa. I think, was it 3 that like we had my grandma buy for me?
Something like
that. Was that the one on PS2?
Hell yeah.
I think 3 started on the next gen.
And like, I was like, I begged my grandma to buy it for me that day. And she did, and it was tight. Me and Casey played it all forever. It's great.
It's crazy that 2 is just considered like one of the best games of all time.
2's a really great game, man. It's
fantastic.
Yeah.
But
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I remember the only thing I remember 2 has like the haunted house graveyard cul-de-sac level. And I remember playing that level a lot, and Proud by Alien Ant Farm is on the soundtrack.
Oh, yeah.
And of what? Proud by Alien Ant Farm is on the soundtrack.
And what game, though?
Tony Hawk 2.
What cul-de-sac are you talking about?
Might be 3.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's hard to keep track.
I've never played 3 proper.
Does 2 have Rage Against the Machine, then?
Yes.
Nope.
Yeah, yeah. Bulls on Parade.
Oh, yeah. No. Guerrilla Radio.
Guerrilla Radio. You're right. Yep.
Maybe that's what I'm thinking, then.
No, that was the opener, right? Or was it TNT? It was that one. I don't remember. Guerrilla Radio.
Yeah, it was Guerrilla Radio. TNT's not in 2. I think that's in 4.
Turn that up!
See?
All the edited songs.
Uh-huh.
They blend together.
It's T for team.
I only know them based off of like the ones that I missed. So like I never had 3. I had 3 on the Game Boy Advance.
But... Oh yeah, that's a completely different game though.
Oh yeah, how was awesome. The sound slash music on that one?
Tinny.
Like, did they give you chip tunes or did they just like make up stuff? Tinny.
Yeah,
that's fucking awesome.
So it's like, I know of some of the levels on 3. Like, I think there's a cruise ship or something on there.
That sounds right. Level.
That's mm-hmm. a level, right? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it's a good one.
Right. Is that one of those ones ship? That is like, talking about levels, there's a couple of different levels that they had in these like mainline games that you could go from like this open world thing, and then they also had the weird ass ones like Downhill Jam and the Mall, which were just like point A to point B.
You guys like the downhill race style ones?
I never played that one because it just wasn't
not right. That game specifically, but like the downhill style levels in the game.
Well, yeah, I did them just because, you know, it was to.
I always really liked them.
I liked
them, but it made it a grind to like go back
a little
and
bit.
Get everything.
It made it intense.
Yeah,
but you felt
completing
good
them was real rough, especially that downhill jam one is very rough. The mall was not too bad, like the airport's not too bad, but like downhill
the
jam,
dam,
you gotta, like, everything,
the dam, yeah, where you have that, like, get all the like,
the dam was sick.
Yeah. It was nothing but progress that you had to hit. Just
I really like the mall. The mall was like quintessential like 90s PlayStation atmosphere.
Everybody remembers the beginning of that, where you just hit a couple of ramps going down, and mainly because it was like cool the first couple of times, and then you're like, just get me to the mall.
Yeah,
man.
You're like, this is now annoying.
Let me hop over this railing, bail right at the bottom, and then I'm there.
Tony Hawk Pro Skater version of Freebird. A bunch of bullshit at the beginning.
Like ragdoll physics where like you'd fall the same way every time.
Oh yeah.
And like you'd fall and like your legs would spread out, you go, ugh.
Oh,
and his shin not to bounce off the ground.
Not to like derail this completely. We may or may not have mentioned Dave Mira Pro BMX earlier on this episode. I don't know what I left in here after an off comment, off color comment. But did you guys ever play that in like play the bail mode where you got you tried to see how many points you could get for bailing?
Yeah.
You had that also in all the skate games, which was like one of the best parts of
skate.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. They really should have put something like that in Tony Hawk. You're launching off of a building.
They've got something similar in Project 8 where you rack up the most damage.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I actually like Project 8 quite a bit.
Really?
I do too. It's got
I've never
flaws.
Played it.
It has some issues, but
it was the very early version of Skate. Like Skate stole that technology and thought for
better.
Sure.
Did any of you guys try the Tony Hawk with the board?
No, I've never.
No.
That was for the Wii?
I believe Wii, it was Wii for and the Wii U.
I yeah, I Tony Hawk it. Ride.
It was terrible.
Yeah, Tony Hawk's Ride. Yeah.
Explain this game to us, Kyle.
It's literally, it's like the downhill jam parts of it, but like instead of, it's a lot like a SSX game where you're just grinding a lot instead of skating so much.
Also, if you're just grinding in a SSX game, you're not doing it right.
It's true.
You gotta do a lot.
Yeah.
You gotta be spamming those tricks.
Points.
Are they coming out with a spiritual successor to that?
I hope so.
I would be so hopeful.
I forget what it's called, but I swear I've seen trailers for it.
I have as much love for SSX as I do for THPS.
It's the only good snowboarding game that's like ever come out. The Shaun White one was pretty good. You just slap on good. Don't Fear the Reaper on
Snowboard
repeat.
Kids is good.
I love Snowboard Kids.
It's the only good snowboarding game that I've played.
Actually, Amp 3 is great.
That's an N64 game. It was a unique one.
Mm-hmm. The 1080 games are fun.
Yeah. 1080, baby.
They're not great, but that they're requires good. They're an
N64, oh man, though. 1080 was great. I beg to differ. 1080 was great.
There you go. There you go.
What other Tony Hawk style games were there? We listed the fucking.
There's Kelly Slater Pro Surfer.
Kelly Slater Pro Surfer.
Matt Hoffman BMX. Yeah. Pro BMX.
I'll fill in the holes.
They had a rollerblading one too, right?
Aggressive inline.
What?
I think that was someone else.
Was that it was a different company. Engine. That one was Acclaim.
Okay.
I actually remember enjoying that game.
What else was there? Honestly. Somebody look them
Me
up.
Me too. They had great exploration. They had Sledstorm, which was similar. Freak Style, which was on the motorcycles and attitude characters. SSX, which we said. What else? You could maybe make an argument that... the Outlaw series is kind of similar. The Outlaw Volleyball, Golf. Maybe more similar to like Thug 2.
Did you guys ever play any of the early X Games PlayStation 1?
Oh, yeah. I remember Mm-mm. that.
Games where like you could, it was mostly like downhill racing sections where you could race as like a mountain biker, a luger, or a rollerblader.
Oh, interesting.
They were a lot of fun.
Luge I have is to something chime you don't here. See often.
The Shaun White snowboarding was Ubisoft.
I was gonna say,
and Sean Palmer, pro snowboarder, was the Activision one.
Okay.
There you go. Also, there was not as memorable because I don't even
fucking know
game.
Who Sean Palmer is.
And the Disney Sean skateboarding game like was made using the Tony Hawk Pro Skater 4 engine.
I remember hearing that. Yeah.
It
was that
not as good. It, just old, because it uses the same engine does not mean it plays as well. It's right. not, it's it doesn't feel right.
Mm-hmm. I remember that. They had that in McDonald's.
That sounds right.
They did.
When they had the GameCube kiosks.
Like, yeah.
The GameCube kiosks, maybe.
Man, game kiosks were so great. Like, just at Walmart or in...
JCPenney's.
Yeah, anywhere you came across them.
Just locking like, your neck in like a...
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Staring
up. Go 90 degrees up, just staring.
I remember going back to school shopping, JCPenney's, and my mom's like, go play that. Taking care of your brother now. And so that's where I spent a lot of time playing pod racing.
Ooh, nice. Pod racing gotta go fast. Game.
Whatever they said.
They need to remaster that.
They did. It's on Twitch.
Couple years
in the Tony Hawk engine, you didn't let me finish.
Oh,
Tony Hawk's pod racing.
All right,
kickflip.
So, did you guys before like really the Thug games when you started making yourselves or your own character? Who was your go to skater that you would use?
Rodney Mullen.
Rodney Mullen. Okay,
I think depending on the game. Two on there were creative skaters.
I don't think you had it in two. Maybe in three.
I think really? Had it in two.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
I still wasn't making myself.
No, I wasn't making myself, but I did create a skater. Because there was a surprising lack of women up until, like, who was the one? Eliza?
Dushku?
Alyssa.
It's not Dushku.
No, Alyssa Steamer was in all of them.
Was she? Was she in one?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Oh, I believe shit. So, yeah.
No, with cool. her big baggy jeans, it was cool.
Yeah.
All right.
Kareem Campbell had edition. One of the best specials, so I like playing him a lot.
I always used Bob Burnquist. That was my guy.
I'm surprised.
That Brazilian.
Well, because he had a backwards hat and sunglasses in Tony Hawk 1, and I was like, yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
He's a cool guy.
Nice. Custom skater, custom tricks. Make sure you get the 900 in there. You're golden.
Yeah. I always like the backflip.
Dude, I would keep like most of the tricks the same, like whatever special tricks that people had, but I was 100% remapping the controls of all of them to just like up, down, or down, up, or left, right, left. Sure. Mm-hmm. Every one of them, and just like making my life so easy. I still do. It's the first thing that I do when I open up a Tony Hawk game is just remap whatever character I'm going to use.
Was the 900 right down circle? Yeah. Is that what it was?
Yeah, it was.
I feel like I remember spamming that.
Down up circle or up down circle.
Yep.
Boop. I'd always play that, that orchestra hit. Chung! Bam!
Man, let's hit that 50 times in a combo.
How fucking awesome were those games,
dude? So good. I think honestly it's really something that hasn't been like replicated, the arcadey, right? Arcadey nature hasn't really been matched. Until like I don't know, I'd say like Ali World's pretty arcadey.
I love Ali World.
Yeah,
but it's also like a completely different beast.
Yeah.
What Tony Hawk, I think, did really well was that it let you play it and complete it, but also know you could do way better. Like, oh yeah, you did it.
Yeah.
But there's this you could do.
Yeah.
Like, we're not going to hold this from you, but you know you could come back and do it. And like, they just, the way they tease stuff for you and like, I don't know. They're really good at showing, not telling, how to play the game. Absolutely. Just letting you understand it so it comes naturally to you. Rather than like, what button do I press to grind? Like these, it's just like a triangle when I get right here. Bump. Because it gives you that satisfying hit. Also, correct me
if I'm wrong, Ryan, because you've played through all of these in the last couple of years.
Yeah.
Like, at least in the first couple of them, they let you play pretty much how you wanted. Like, you weren't handcuffed to 100%ing all of these levels. You got to a certain, you did like 6 or 7 of these achievements. You just move on to the next one. Come back if you want later and get some more cash or whatever it was that you were getting. Did that change in the underground games where you had to do very specific things to move on?
Yeah.
For some reason, that's like,
they got a lot more story related.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so then you would get locked into, like, you have to do this one specific trick in part of a segment or a sequence to, like, do it, because it is a story sequence.
And there are, like, for the magazine cover,
8 of them or so, as opposed to, like, the first one kind of gated you. And all right, I was going to just add on to Kyle's point. I think these games are fucking brilliant teachers. The first few gate you by, like, doing the competitions, where you have to start chaining your stuff together and do the combos, and it's a hard block. If by that point you've not learned, like, you can't go on, because, like, the shit that's required of you in the later levels, you're just going to get eaten alive. Absolutely. So I think they're so good about, like, that curve. And as Kyle said, like, also the incentive, like, the quick dopamine hit of, like, the 2-minute runs to keep you, like, wanting to go back and trying it again. It's like Meat Boy and like that kind of difficulty that's real quick and like rapid, but like you're learning each time, and it's so quick that you don't feel like bad for like not doing as good as you could. Just restart again, no problem, and do it again. I think all of us, even though there's probably one person here who is like the best at Tony Hawk's, okay, Sean put his hand up, I wasn't gonna be that person, I'm sure we've all come away after like a few of these thinking we are masters at the game, because like the game really does a good job of getting you to the point. Yeah, and then you get to like the in-game stuff where you're doing like million point combos, and like I guess this is maybe like 4 at that point you're doing that because of all the manuals and reverts they've introduced. The spine transfer is a fucking godsend. You're doing million point combos and you do feel like a fucking little skateboard god. And I, again, we apparently would all get our asses handed to us very, very quickly by Sean, but that we all walk away, I do think that's an indication of like fucking brilliant game design that just teaches you like everything you need to know and encourages you to get to that point. It's almost Dark Soulsian.
It gets that's sort of where it started to lose me, like, because when they start to add just the new shit every time, like, even at that point, like, my attention span only goes so far. It's like, okay, now I gotta press down or up right before I land to manual. Okay, now I gotta press R2 to revert through this. Okay.
Once you got it though, it felt so natural.
Like, mm-hmm. I don't know, like, mm-hmm. I would just get confused. I got that way with what was that? Guacamelee? Was that Metroidvania Guacamelee game?
Yeah, I remember you disliking this, and I was very surprised. Because it's cute and charming.
It is, but it got very confusing towards the end. And Tony Hawk, like, 7 gets that way. Huh. I'm like, God, just let me hit triangle to grind again. Bring me back to my roots.
I completely understand that. And that some of the games now, in like the last 10, 15 years, can almost get a little needlessly complicated or have you remembering crazy combinations, but also it's in the same vein where, like, once you get it and once if it clicks with you, you're like, oh, you feel so good about that.
Absolutely.
So I'm glad that at least this for me it was kept relatively simple-ish enough, and that, you know, I was sitting in a basement over a Christmas break playing by myself and just got good at it. You know, it's like, who's going to make fun of me? Well, 4 came out in 2003. Okay, so I was 16. Yeah, because I missed 3 in 2002. Oh, no, I am way off. Three's 2001, 4's 2002, so I was 15.
I remember doing that with Sonic Adventure on the Dreamcast. I got it for Christmas, and then my dad and stepmom were having, like, a Christmas party, and I just spent the whole night in the basement on playing my Dreamcast on the TV.
Hell yeah, dude.
I was like, what? Go away!
We had the house where, like, we would host the Christmas parties, and so, like, we'd have cousins and stuff over, so it's like if people brought over their Xboxes for Halo or we played Smackdown Here Comes the Pain or whatever. But if there was ever a Tony Hawk game or a Twisted Metal game that was out, Bad Boy's getting slapped and we're just
one of
real shitty for hours.
Casey and my, like, our little inside jokes that we still use today is telling someone they have no concept of time. So when we would play Tony Hawk 3, I'd rush him and say, all right, that was your half hour.
And it's like, it would be like one run of 2 minutes. And it's like it's literally, maybe, and there's 5 minutes here.
Maybe
like,
10.
The Maiden song's not even done.
We're playing a 30-minute transfer.
He's like, all right, it's my turn.
He's like, you have no concept of time. So that's a great one. That's always going to stick with me forever. Might be one of the last things I say before, like, my brain fries and I die, you know?
Or that's what he'll say for the rest of his life at some point. When he has
to. When I get, like, a Hodor moment.
I have no concept of time.
Con time.
Your name is Con Time.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Nobody knows who this powerful man is.
This game got brought up earlier, and I remember having this game and not having particularly like the long-standing hooks in me. Back in, I want to say, like, 2006-ish, Tony Hawk's Project 8. This is the one that allowed you to, like, zoom in on your feet and, like, flip the board in certain ways, right?
Yeah, it had it was like, I forget what it was called, but it was like board time, trick time, I don't know, some shit like that.
It was probably trick time. That sounds so fucking lingo for then.
Done by pushing in your thumbsticks, which for me as a chronic D-pad player was an immediate middle finger. Because you do fucking tricks on a D-pad. You're not using thumbsticks. And that game made you use the fucking thumbsticks, which was like a huge hurdle. It's also heavier and weightier than the other ones. The other ones feel a lot more floaty and arcadey. And then, like, I played it on Xbox 360. I don't know how the PS3 version went, but fucking,
I only
frame rate
360
was
as well.
Awful.
Yeah, it was terrible.
it struggled.
What I liked it about rough. It is there was only a few sections that you had to use that trick time, though. Like, mm-hmm. because, like, anything else you could just do regular, unless it was like, you need to do a tray flip over this and that, like, in the slow mode. But they generally, I feel like they did it once for, like, a demo run, and then mm-hmm. anything else you kind of have the option to, but
yeah,
I don't know. I found myself
still doing. They have specific
tricks
set up like, where it's just like, that is it. You just hit a ramp somewhere, and, like, you do mm-hmm. that trick, and you get a certain point to get 1, 2, or 3.
I remember it being more intuitive the more you did it, and mm-hmm. just kind of throwing it around every now and then. I remember playing it like I used to play. Like, I remember firing up Skate all the time, like, even when, like, Skate 3 was out, just firing that up. But I feel like I did that a lot with Project 8, too, mm-hmm. before those games came out. Like, I was like, this is, like, the most realistic thing that I can get to skating. And it's kind of to touch on what Sean was saying earlier, that everything now that's coming out is, like, so sim-based and, like, physics-based and stuff like that, which I think that's really cool, but I agree that there needs to be, like, more arcadey stuff that's just fucking fun. Like, those skate, like, Session and, God, what's the other one? I can't think of it. But anyway, there's two, like, main games out right now that are Skater XL, that are, like, sim-based and physics-based, and, like, they're fun if you know how to play them.
And like, I have Skater XL. and it's, like, one of those, you fall off the board, and, like, everything restarts. There's no, it's just, you're just skating a session. I don't know. I understand that there's an audience for it, and I understand that I'm not that audience. And I think I can, like, pinpoint, now that you guys are talking about it and contextualizing me in, like, that game, I think I can actually pinpoint the moment that I put down Project 8. Is, you mentioned it's getting a little bit heavier, it's getting a little bit further away from the arcadiness.
Yeah.
I'm also a D-pad player, and it's kind of a big letdown when the big thing about a game, you know, the trick time, is the worst part of the game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can understand that completely.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't polished. Yeah. It was new, and, like, to me, it was the new thing in the Tony Hawk game, so I was going to love it regardless. Like, it was just there for me. And, like, I kind of forced myself to like it. But it also, like, I'm glad that it was there because it paved the way for these other great games, Skate mainly, from EA. So, like,
it was also
those
like
are just fun as hell. I hope we do
the next generation Tony Hawk.
Yeah. I feel like I missed out on those. But, dudes, is that also the one that had you jumping out of fire hydrant and you could just do a spin on a fire hydrant?
Yep. Yep.
Like, how are you going realistic based, and then you have some dumb
Thug
shit like that?
Thug 2 introduced that, but
okay. Yeah, not a spins.
But they kept it in Project 8 where they were trying to be more realistic, and they kept that one in, but got rid of, like, the off the board stuff, which is like a good trade off, whatever.
I remember it being a living room full of us. I was living in Arizona. We had just gotten this game, and we were having fun with it. And it got to one of those sections where it's like, all right, go into trick time and do this over this gap. And we literally did what it was asking of us
nope.
like 10 times. And it never once gave us the go ahead to continue on with the game. So I think we turned it off that
glitchy.
Day and never turned it back on.
Yeah.
That
it was
whole
I
generation.
Do remember those being infuriating. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Like, it was like, I just fucking did that.
Yeah.
Did you guys play
Fuck, man.
The last one that came out that, like, had a huge day one patch that was essentially the whole game?
Tony Hawk's 5. And that
Oh yeah, I've never
is
played that.
Awful. I did out of curiosity for $20, and that's
Do you regret spending $20 on it?
It's one of the laziest games I think I've ever dealt with. Like, the levels just are so fucking bare, and we've not talked about, like, the levels in these games. I think maybe we mentioned the warehouse at the very beginning, but, like, there's so much creativity and thought and, like, care put into every single level, and there's, like, a cheeky sense of humor, and you can find, like, really cool things and open up cool paths. None of that's fucking present in 5. 5 is just like fucking, they went into the creative park mode in Tony Hawk's 2 and then made their fucking levels and that's it. There's nothing special. And then they actively, I think they patched it out finally, but they kind of broke the game with the stomp button, the stomp mechanic, where you can slam down your board. It was positioned in a way that you could easily break your combos by accident because it's in it. I forget how I should have played it again and refreshed myself. But the button is in a way, like, it's very easy to press and just fuck up any progress you had. And it was so bad, they had to patch that out of the game.
That's
because it was such a mistake. 5's awful. 5 is the epitome of, like, we need to keep a license. We don't actually care about what we're doing. Yeah. And it's real sad because, like, I have issues with, like, several of the games. Proving Ground, I have so many issues with. American Wasteland, I have issues with. There is still, like, care and thought and passion, I feel like, in those. There is none of that to be found in 5. 5 is one of the worst games I've ever played.
Wow. Wasn't a big part of that, too, like, it's, like, when you log on, you just see everybody skating around. Like, that was the... behind
everybody, like up to like 12 people.
Yeah,
like it's not everybody.
That didn't even work.
You had a lobby of people that you could see, but it was like up to 8 or 12. Like, it was not a huge number. It was not overwhelming. And again, like, I think
who cares?
4 Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 4 had fucking online play with like multiplayer lobbies up to like the same number. So it's nothing fucking new. I was doing that shit on the PlayStation 2 network adapter way back when. Like, it's not special. It's like when Nintendo announces, like, a new online feature. It's like, great, that's 10 years too late. No one fucking cares.
I was about to say, don't talk shit too loud. Nintendo's going to hear you.
I'll talk shit on Nintendo. That's fine.
I think the first Underground was the last one that, like, I really... dug into really hardcore. Mm-hmm.
Did you get into the 1+2 remake?
I played it a bit. I mean, I played through 1 a lot. My favorite levels.
I thought I had the remakes, but I just had the Tony Hawk's 1 and 2 remaster, which is just them ported over to PC.
Nice. God. I've got 2X, which is the Xbox version of 1 and 2 combined with extra levels.
Nice.
That's tight.
All right, let's expound on that. We've flirted around the ideas of levels. What is like your top levels? You don't have to give me your favorite. Just what are some that you remember really liking?
The airport stands out a lot to me.
That's in 3, right?
Airport's a great one.
2 or 3.
It's definitely not 2.
I remember a trailer park in the wintertime, I think. I think that's in 2. Maybe I'm crazy.
Nope.
That's very specific and I don't remember it.
It's not in 2 either. Do you just remember everything from 3, Kyle?
Maybe.
You and Casey? Maybe.
Oh, yeah, there is Canada. Canada is in 3. It's probably 3. It's probably that's Canada.
Yeah.
And there are probably trailer parks at some point in there.
I believe
it's Canada, Ryan.
Yeah,
Canada's famously nothing but trailer parks and snow.
I really like 1 and 2's school levels.
Yeah, schools are always good. Yeah. Venice Beach was great. I remember Venice Beach a lot.
Spent that was a lot awesome.
Fucking time there.
Was that the first introduction of Ollie the Bum?
I think so.
Which is funny because it was just like telling you to Ollie the Bum, and that
that just became his name.
So good.
So good. Such an iconic character.
Officer Dick.
Yes.
From
Officer
the game,
Dick and Private Carrera.
Uh-huh. I always loved Warehouse, man. Warehouse is just so iconic. I love hitting the holy shit grind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Warehouse and Hangar both are...
I was about to say, Hangar is, I think, equally as iconic, and I think that Warehouse is just more memorable because it was the demo level that so many people got to play.
For that's sure. Definitely up for me.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
I love Kona. I'll drop in here and say Kona from 4 is one of my favorite levels in all of Tony Hawk games.
I was hoping to hear some For Love. I love Kona 2. I hate the fucking one task where you have to jump and do the trick over the snack shack.
Oh yeah.
That one is also one of the ones where it'll just like fucking halt any progress, where it's like, God damn it. This one is just like,
I love the one
a little bit.
You have to hit the ramp at just the right angle.
Where you have to do the I think like a grab trick over the helicopter blades.
That's a good one. The hangar.
That one's awesome.
Where you had to grind them to start them up.
Something like that.
That will get you to the secret tape. Around the helicopter blades.
Dude, 4 has great levels. I love Alcatraz.
Alcatraz is a banger.
Yeah. Yes, dude.
Alcatraz is fucking really good. Zoo's good. Zoo's hard, but you can get fucking points on Zoo. They have so many good lines, but that's also another fucking progress halter.
I'm probably just like a Tony Hawk 1 lover, because that's the one I've played so much.
Yeah,
I love Burnside.
Burnside was always good.
Burnside's killer.
Thug have one that was Hawaii or Bermuda, Bermuda Triangle level.
I think it was Hawaii, because that's where you do the helicopter shit. You're like doing all the skateboard magazine stuff.
Oh, that's right, with the huge skyscraper buildings.
Yeah, there is Hawaii.
Yeah, dude, I love the Thug levels too, and Thug.
Like them, man. They're Hawaii a lot of fun.
So much character in Tony Hawk's levels.
Hawaii was the fifth one in Tony Hawk Underground. Yes. Yeah, look at that. Let's go. Nice. We talked about it. I fucking love Mall. Mall is such an awesome level.
Yeah,
it's airport's probably my favorite downhill level type. Yeah, but that is close number two. Mm-hmm. That is close.
Mall for me for sure.
I am a big sucker for skate park in the first one, which was the first time that you actually had one of those competition levels.
Yeah, that's a good level.
I've always wished that in that small level, it was just packed with objectives to do, like, because it's such a cool fucking level. And I wanted more time in it other than the 2.5 minutes it'll take me to beat
everybody. Dominate everybody.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, because you only do 1 minute runs in those. It's 3 1-minute runs and it takes your best score.
Yeah, you just do 2 runs and skip your last one and you're done. Move on.
Just bail.
You do your best line.
On that note, my favorite of the contest levels is always, I love Area 51, man.
Yeah.
I was gonna ask if someone was gonna say Roswell. Roswell.
That one's tight.
Yep.
Yeah. These games, it's so funny how ground let me toss up some air quotes here. How grounded they are with, I mean, they're batshit crazy games, but like by the end of each game, you're like, you're in skate heaven or you're riding around in a bull ring, like plopping through bullshit.
Madrid. That's such a fucking cool level too.
Madrid was tight. Was Madrid 2 or 3?
4.
That was 2.
It was 2? 4?
Oh.
I thought it was 4. I could be wrong.
I thought it was a 2 as well.
It was in two.
Damn, okay. That fucking that early? That's such a great level for so.
What other levels did 2 have?
2 had Philadelphia, which is my least favorite in that game.
Is that the one with the
agreed.
The subways?
I don't think so.
I don't remember.
That's one of those city levels that has like a central part, but like a lot of the stuff that you have to do revolves around you like navigating up into buildings. And on top of buildings. Which isn't my favorite mechanic in the games.
Agreed.
It's because it's finicky and it takes you an entire run to do something, so it really takes away that freedom that the games let you have.
The flow of being able to do like multiple, because
you have to prioritize what you want.
You have 2.5 minutes and all you need is that fucking E for skate and it's up there. And if you miss the jump, you have to go all the way back around and grind the whole fucking statue again.
You might as well restart the level, because it took you a minute 100%. And 15 seconds to get to the top of the roof. And if you go off this ramp just wrong, you're on the ground again.
Just that fucking anticipation, knowing you're going to fucking it up and just getting so pissed and being like, God!
I remember being a kid, just that exact same reaction. New York City was the one with the subway.
Okay, that makes sense.
Which was, that was a pretty good level.
New York City, yeah, I like that one too.
Is that 2?
Yeah, that was 2.
Okay. Is it?
Wow. I blend 2 and 3 so much, man.
All of them.
Yeah.
All of them blend together, except for certain ones stick out. Like, every game I can remember, like, 2 or 3 levels that, like, really stand out. The rest of them could just be from any Tony Hawk game. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What's the one that had the, like, the kiss? There wasn't there,
oh,
like,
a... Oh, 4! That's 4. Yeah. That one is 4. Yeah. That one is 100% 4. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Or the carnival, or whatever it is.
That's it. Yep.
Yeah.
That's fucking hilarious.
Because that game had, what, TNT?
Yeah.
On the soundtrack?
Yeah. That was my second PlayStation 2 game, was Tony Hawk.
Really?
Tony Hawk's 4, yeah. I waited long into life cycle to get a PlayStation 2. And the first one was Kingdom Hearts. The second one was Tony Hawk's. Third one was Capcom 2, and then I can't remember.
Those are some bangers, dude.
But man, Tony Hawk's 4, that one, that is the one I think I have down most. I've spent so much time in that, because it was the first one that goes open world. Not open world, really, but like, they don't have a time limit anymore. And they let you just spend your time doing the tasks. But then, conversely, because of that freedom, they make those tasks super fucking hard. It is one of the hardest to get like 100% in. It is a brutal 100%.
It made it feel so worth it, though.
I was down for the challenge. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Did you guys ever have like a favorite unlock character?
The Darth Maul.
Darth Maul was cool. I always liked Spider-Man. How he would like whip the board back to him.
Yeah.
That was sick as hell.
You get Wolverine in 3. That one's pretty hard to beat.
What would he do to the board? Would he just like stab it, I assume?
I thought it was like
I don't know if there was anything secret for him.
I feel like Darth Maul would use the Force to like control the board.
I think he'd like push it and then bring it back in and then land on it or something.
He also had the fucking dual lightsaber. God.
Yeah.
What an era. What an era of games, man.
Just that time in general, having all of these licensed unlockable characters hidden away in games, like Soul Calibur. Y'all remember when Soul Calibur had a different version for every system, and each system had a different unlockable character?
I love the GameCube version of Link. That was one of my Soul Calibur 2. That's one of my all time favorite fighting games. Soul Calibur 2 with Link.
I was on Xbox with Spawn.
With Spawn,
Hayashi was on PlayStation.
Hayashi was PlayStation.
PS2 got ripped off.
Yeah, hard. Who else would they have gotten, though?
Dude.
Anyone Snake. Else from...
He wasn't...
Snake's right there.
I guess so.
Maybe because guns, you need somebody with blades, but Metal Gear Solid 2 came out, so fucking Raiden.
Yeah.
Right there.
Okay, yeah, Raiden with the ninja sword.
That would have been an easy... Just naked riding?
The ape escape character, but his weapon is the net, and you fight with the net.
The ape escape character.
The ape escape?
I don't know. So protagonist. Male protagonist with spiky Goku hair.
Yeah, the ape catcher.
Oh, that guy. That makes it narrow.
Wukong?
Oh my God. Yo, so I did a little bit of looking into, I mentioned earlier, I looked into these games a lot, and a lot of it came down to like looking at the characters that were in each game too.
Yeah.
And man, looking at the unlockable characters for some of these games, like, it's just absolutely crazy, especially when it comes down to the ones that weren't released in America. Like, the Korean versions of these games had like 6 unlockables each.
Really?
Wait. Yeah, I'm not familiar. What are some of these?
Oh, goddammit. Hold on.
Yeah, no, I'm super fucking interested.
Wait, I think it's on my phone still. I hope. It's crazy that
now in the newest remaster, you can unlock Doom Guy.
Oh,
if
you could also get the deluxe version. Back in the day.
Could you?
Only on the PC version, though.
Yeah.
You're not wrong, dude. First appearance is Tony Hawk Pro Skater 3 PC.
Yep.
Yeah, yep. I put in too much time into researching. I put in more time researching this episode than any other show that we do.
I'll say while you're looking these up, for as many issues as I have with Thug 2, and I have many issues, I do love the way they do unlockable characters, because I think you get one for each level. So there are like 10 or 12 like different ones, ranging from like Steve-O and Phil Margera to then like specific people like the bullfighter, or like fuck, man, I think like a homeless person, because
Ollie the Bum Beach.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, also, right, Venice Beach, great level.
Fantastic level.
You mentioned that one earlier.
The fact that like the sand slowed you down, like you hardly have that in like any of the games or any of the levels. Ryan, it's a lot of South Korean actresses. So like Hayori Akju-hyun, Lee Jin, Sung-hori, Yuri, and that's just in number two. So that's four characters in number two.
That's crazy that they had their own secret characters.
Yeah.
I can't believe I've not heard about this already.
Number three had... Oh. Well, they didn't care about South Korea in number three.
I think four. Market hasn't been great, even though we've been giving them the characters that they want.
There was a Little Person was a PlayStation exclusive in number four.
Wii Man?
I don't think so.
Yeah, Wii Man doesn't come person. Until
they didn't give him that games. Name. Yeah, his name was Little Person before.
Holy shit.
So that's apparently crazy. Those Korean people are Finkel. That's the name of their K-pop group. And they also have a bunch of K-pop songs in the Tony Hawk Korean games, which makes sense.
Of course
they do. But wow, I would love to play that fucking version.
That would be tight.
Holy shit, I didn't know that. I can get you that version. I don't know how we didn't even talk about this. Yeah, I know somebody. Have you heard of Blackbeard? The secret tapes. Guys, how have we not talked about the secret tapes and what you're actively playing through these games these different characters for? Was their pro tapes and you're trying to get the bail videos.
I love the bail videos. Yeah.
Oh my God. The nut shots after nut shots after nut shots. Let's go.
Yeah, that shit was awesome. That was one of the coolest parts, was like watching the skate vids, watching the bail vids.
I would go through and play through with every character just to be able to see their skate vids. Because back in the day, like, I had no way to see this shit. Like, I lived 25 minutes from the city. Like, I'm not going to the city to get skate tapes or whatever, you know? My parent ain't. My parents aren't getting me those.
For you and the kid two blocks up.
Yeah. It ain't happening.
In your neighborhood? That's it.
That Rodney Mullen video
changed my life.
I think it's in like number two, is one of the most banging 2-minute videos changed I've ever life, seen in man. My life.
I was trying to do that on my Walmart skateboard with the plastic brake pad on the back.
You can't even ollie with those.
No.
You can once.
No.
It's tough. I don't know if I've
rip it. And it had a shark chasing a surfer on the bottom.
That's sick.
Have I guys ever told you the story about like the this gigantic scar that I have that like splits through my eyebrow?
No.
I in fifth grade, that was my first skateboard ever, was like a shitty little like Walmart board. And this is why I'm saying you can't ollie on those bad, but they weigh like 20 pounds. Like, how huge. Are you expecting to get those shits off the ground?
Right.
So I had one. It just feels like a waterlogged piece of board. And we had recently, I kid you not, found an actual cannonball in the woods behind my house. Like, I'm talking like 25-pound, 30-pound, like, cannonball. My dumb ass, seeing my sister across the basement, thought it'd be funny to drop it on the back of the skateboard and launch it on her. Unfortunately, I dropped it on the wrong side. It popped up and cracked my skull wide open.
Nice. Oh my God.
Nice.
And I had to get like plastic surgery, and it was crazy. But you can do that with a Walmart board. The grip tape's pretty okay.
For splitting open heads, it's great.
Grip tape's fire.
Grip tape is fire. Oh, I say, before we wrap this up, why don't we, let's rank the first four, personally.
Who?
Coward? Okay. You don't want to put in the thugs?
There's a lot. I mean,
Thug Thaw and Thugs.
They're different games. Can I say that? They're pretty much different games.
Yeah.
They'd be at the bottom. Would anybody put any of the Thug games above any of the Tony Hawk Pro Skater?
I don't think so.
That's actually a good call.
Yeah.
I Thug 1, but I don't know if it eclipses.
Not for me.
Any of the first four, to be honest.
Sean?
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, I don't know if I could put Tony Hawk 3 above literally any of the other games because I've not really played it.
Sean's starting off the listing. He's starting with Tony Hawk 3.
What are your thoughts on 2 and what are your thoughts on 4? Because 3's right in between.
Me?
Yeah.
Thank you, Ryan, for learning how to count.
Do you...
I think 2 is just such an iconic game, and it's just always gonna hold a place in my heart. It's really hard to go back to like 1, right? Because you don't even have manuals, you don't have reverts, you don't have anything like that. It has, I think, one of the best soundtracks ever. 1 and 2 for me are just two of the best soundtracks ever in games, hands down. I can't even include the other games in this conversation. And with that, like, I don't know if I can put 2 above 4. I think I like some of the levels in 2 more, but as a total package, like, 4 just has it all. It has all of the things that I know, like, if I'm going to sit down and play a game, play one of the two, I'm going to want to play 4 more just because it has the ability with the reverts, with the spine transfers that were introduced in 4. Reverts were introduced in 3. With those in it that 2 doesn't have, I'm able to do a lot more of the things that I really loved and enjoyed by the end of Tony Hawk. That, like, if I get a new game, I want all that stuff. So I'm going to have to put 4, 2, 1, 3.
4, 2, 1, 3. Okay.
In terms of gameplay, like I said, sure. We're talking soundtrack. It's a completely different story.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I don't even, like, 4 is not even... 4 is, I think, I'm a little one of the bottom of the list for me.
Different than you, Sean. Because I'm pretty sure I'm 3-1-4-2.
Mm. Whoa. Yeah, that because you've not played 2.
Not as much. I still like 2 a lot. But yeah, I really 1 is like it's a big nostalgia bomb for me, man. I played the absolute shit out of 1. And even with all the stuff missing, like, I don't miss it. I don't know. But, yeah, I think...
Going back, it you miss it. But, like, when you actually think about playing that game for what it is, you don't really
I think 3 it. Is, like, the perfect spot because that has manuals and it has just enough to make it go fun and hard, but not enough that it starts to get overwhelming. So I think that's pretty much... 3-1-4-2.
It's interesting because 3 has the revert in it, which is just one step away from too much, you know?
Yeah.
So it's interesting that that's so high, but I respect it.
I think for me, it's probably, I think 2 was the biggest nostalgia one for me. I loved 1, but I feel like I played the most of 2. So it's probably going to go 2-3-4-1 for me. Just
2-3-4-1. Yeah, I like that.
Just up because I can't hate on the more stuff added because that's what I was always looking forward to and I loved it every single time. Like with tons of bias. So
yeah,
and it was just like 1 is that nostalgia bomb, but like it started getting great and 2 got. You know, and I think that that's where they got a lot of their ideas for adding more stuff to each game. They're like, people loved that. Let's do that again. And they just kept getting better up to a point. But
I think it gets to a point, too, where it's like you get to I always look forward to stuff being added in. But when you when you get to the point where they're doing like sticker slap, I'm like, man, you ran out of shit to do.
When they did the silly stuff, it was the I didn't really like it.
Like, I don't need to sketch behind cars. It was kind of cool, but
sketching. Yeah. You guys remember that game on Sega Genesis?
Well, you actually had to sketch at some point in the Tony Hawk games.
Skating and pitching. Skitching. Underground? It's pitching. I remember it because it said bitching on the back of the box, and I thought that was so cool. In like fifth grade, I was like, whoa, it's got a bad word on the back of the box. C-I-T-C-H-O. It's really cool. Oh, no. Don't remember this game? It was a rollerblading racing
I remember
game.
It, yeah.
No, I don't. No.
Yeah.
I was going to let you finish. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Who hasn't ranked their game? Is it just Ryan?
It's me. I'm just waiting for you to finish.
We cut him off. All right.
It's bitching, dog.
I agree. These games do get complicated at a certain point, but it's definitely not in 1 through 4. Again, I will die on the hill that the spine transfer in 4 is necessary and crucial. After doing that, there's no going back to any of them, 3 included. 3's a great like step up over 2. I don't think you go too complicated yet, but the spine transfer is just the perfect way to continue your combos. Whoever said the sticker slap on the wall and like some of this shit, they don't really extend your combos. It's just fucking weird variety and flavor. Spine transfers are vital. For me, these games peaked at 4. 4 is the best version of this game. I don't think it's gotten better. If I'm right there with you guys, like my number 2 is the nostalgia hit, which is also number 2 in the series. I love Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 2, so 4 is my number 1. I think this is the best version of Tony Hawk. It's not been better than 4. 2 is for nostalgia. Then I would say 3 because, again, like you lose a lot going back to 1. I like 1's simplicity, but man, once you start getting used to the combos that you can do in some of the later games, it's so fucking hard to go back to 1.
It's better to start with 1 if you're doing a playthrough. 100%. Don't go back to it. Start there. Thank you.
Yeah.
Or just play 1 plus 2. I'm pretty sure you have all of the quality of life stuff from other games.
When they remastered it, they went back and they added stuff from 2 to 1 if the games are together.
I need to pick that up.
Yeah.
So like 1 is a fantastic game.
It breaks
game.
The game.
Yeah. You're just everything you do is a million points plus.
Yeah.
But that's why Dave and Micah won't play with me. But
yo, fuck you, Sean. We're out of here.
At its base, it's you can go back to 1 and just turn it on and listen to music, I guess. But you can do that on Spotify.
Do you know that song that you thought forever that they're saying Tony Hawk? They're actually saying Amoeba.
Yeah, that caught a lot of people. The song is actually called Amoeba.
Amoeba.
No, I'm not familiar with this phenomenon. No, at all.
Yeah, it's in Tony Hawk 2. I think the song is.
I don't remember it. Who's the artist?
3, probably. 3.
I don't know. I'll have to send it to you off episode, but I'll send it to you.
Yeah.
But I always thought they were
the adolescence.
Huh?
The adolescence.
The adolescence.
I have all of the soundtracks pulled up.
No, wait. We'll get. Who cares if we get copyright strike?
You get struck. It is in Tony Hawk 3.
Oh, it's in Tony Hawk 3! Son of a bitch.
It's always in 3.
It is. I'm mistaken for 2?
I've come to learn every time Kyle thinks something's in 2, it is 3. 100%.
That's why I said 3 is my favorite.
Jesus, that's funny. I'm actually really looking forward to 3 plus 4. So I can finally play 3 and that I can play 4.
I think it's out now.
Let's get them.
No way.
I think it's out. It's in July. It's very
July.
Soon.
Oh, sorry.
The boundary demo is out right now.
So oh, yeah. If you buy the game,
we'll do it as a tax write off for the podcast. We'll all 3 get it.
It's going to be on
there's
Game
no
Pass.
Way
he's not here.
So I got it.
It is not expensive enough to write that off.
Yeah, we could totally do it.
What if you buy a 4-pack? It is.
I'll buy it for you guys and then I'll write it off.
So you bought the same thing 4 times?
Yeah, that's how you do tax purposes.
Give it to me free.
I've got a question. So we've talked about like the series and where it's been and kind of its downfall, all of this shit. They are now stuck in this habit of our cycle of putting out re-releases. But if you could have a new Tony Hawk game, one, would you want one? Two, what would you want from a new Tony Hawk game?
A roguelite.
Honestly, I think that's not a bad idea, even if it was a joke. That's not horrible.
Well, I mean, if you think about it, that's almost kind of like what they were to begin with. You're adding more stats to your skater all the time.
I love it.
I'm just picturing... If you fail, if you fail this competition, we're taking old Tony Hawk behind that shed and we're killing him. And you got to pick a new character.
My only pushback would be then you lose like the kind of exploration and finding the secret stuff because like the roguelite's going to be super random and have these like kind of like blocks of segments all put out, but.
I think it could be a cool idea to have, like, there's always a skate park Project level. Project
8 kind of is.
Like, this didn't even get brought up, but Tony Hawk 2 has that skate park level. Hawk-tua? Which is
Tony Hawk 2?
Yes, Hawk 2, girl. Fantastic. That's a copyright. Probably. Crypto scam. She's doing Bitcoin.
I was going to say, if we're going this route, a Tony Hawk JRPG would be dope.
Rescue the Hawk Man.
So yeah, Hawk is the main character, the chosen one. And you can pick up all the other characters. They'll have, like, one guy, he has high grind stat, and the combat's sort of similar to Expedition 33, where each enemy has a weakness. You can either grind on him or kickflip off of him. Yeah.
You rescue Bam Margera from rehab.
Uh-huh.
So this is the Shaq. The Shaq basketball RPG.
Okay, so Underground 3.
Uh-huh. We're taking it back to the Underground.
I want Tony Hawk 5. Like, I want the one from, like, 9 years ago to just be wiped from memories and wiped from existence. And for them to actually put out something that's take 4. And then just don't even change anything from 4. Just give me new levels, give me new stories, give me new objectives. Give me a full-ass game. Charge me $60, not $80. I don't feel like that's very difficult. And in every one of these games, there's a skate park level in it. How about you make it just randomly generated? Set up a parameter
That'd
thing.
That'd be kind of cool.
And randomly generate a skate park. I think that'd be fucking tight.
There you go. Putting all the ideas together. You have to
make AI do it now.
But there's a boss at the bottom of the foam block pit that you have to grind its weak point to get out.
See, now we're back to my level and I like
it. We're getting into thug territory now again.
I'm just trying to appease the Kyle gods.
Mm-hmm. No. You gotta raise. Why? We don't need to appease Kyle. He never played Tony Hawk's 2.
I think everything from Tony Hawk 3 is Tony Hawk 2.
I think he's only actually ever played Tony Hawk 3. That's all I've ever played. Of the other ones.
It's just burning my mind. Like, that's 2, right? No!
God, it's like 5 times this episode.
It was good stuff. Sean.
What?
Take us out, buddy.
Casey, take us out, buddy.
Ryan, take us out, buddy.
You don't want to do that. We're Experience Grind. We are a podcast. We are professional and stuff. You can check
smash
out how
that
professional.
Like and subscribe button.
Smash them so hard.
Smash it, motherfucker.
Oh my god, Linktree! Experience Grind. Patreon. Yeah. Come subscribe.
Do all
Shit.
That.
I was just going to get there in my own time, which is going to be a long time.
It was going to take forever.
That's why you don't put it to me.
Come hang out.
Oh, that's what
on
you meant
Patreon.
By take us out?
Where we're going to do this for longer. It's good.
Out of our misery.
Shit. Yeah, go Hawk Tua yourself.
Spit on that thing.